Welcome to Workshop Wednesdays with Tony Gambone, where you will learn how to build your business and take it to the next level. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and hey folks, it's 27th of January, 2016. We're already through the first month of the new year. Amazing. And if you look across the map and you'll see the different things that are going on in our country, well, the Northeast just got pummeled with snow this past weekend. And as I have some relatives there, and actually my guest today is in that area as well, record-breaking snowstorm. So for those of you who are in the central part of the states, sort of like myself in Houston, it's another sunny day, might get down to 50 degrees, and people are complaining about that. And if you're on the West Coast, well, everybody knows the weather's always good over there. But the thing of it is, folks, in the new year, we have decided a lot of things that we're going to take on as a new resolution, as a new change, a new way. And, you know, things happen. They pop up unexpectedly. Like on January 1st, 2016, no one in the Northeast said, I'm going to prepare for a record-breaking snowstorm. They did say they were going to prepare maybe to go to the gym or to eat better or work on themselves or, you know, do better in their business or all the so-called things that we're going to do in the new year. But what happened? In the middle of it all, people are snowed in. Some people can't get out onto the streets with their cars yet. So if they're doing a fitness program, going to the gym every day, well, they missed 4 days already, maybe five. And so what does that do to the cycle of staying focused on your new resolution? Just like in business, if you're not in the Northeast and you didn't get hit by snow, what came along to disrupt your journey in the direction you were heading? I know for me, I have no excuses other than I could be lazy or I could be the person that takes action on the plan that I want to have. And unfortunately, I'm never checking off all the boxes on the plus side because that's just who I am. We all have faults, and as long as we recognize them, we learn to deal with them. So what did I do? I didn't make any new resolutions for this year. Well, no long-term statements anyway. I did just choose a word that I thought was going to help me be better this year to gain access to the things that I want, such as freedom and opportunity to be better. And that word is called obedience. Now, I took that 3x5 card and I put it out there with a Sharpie on it and put obedience, a couple explanation marks, and I taped it to my monitor. And I have it on my whiteboard. I try to see it as much as I can. Why? Because it was probably one of the hardest things. It would have been easier for me to go to the gym every day. Because being obedient is not so easy. It's a struggle. Because to be obedient, we have to follow the rules that were set by ourselves, the rules that we want to believe in so that we can be better. So one of the things that I have found is that the word obedience is written everywhere in my house. Just like there's mirrors all over my house. So I have to look in the mirror and examine myself and be honest with myself so that I can be more obedient to myself. So I know, what does this have to do with business? It has a lot, folks. You need to be obedient in your business. You need to be obedient with yourself to be better in your business. You need to pick a word that's going to make sure that you stay focused on what is going to make your world better. And, you know, this show caters to business owners, okay, authors and speakers, which are all in business. And one of the things that I have found that it is very easy to get distracted when you are self-employed. Because there's no one to look up to that's going to give you a hard time or not pay you at the end of the week. So sometimes we take that for granted. But at the end of the week, I have to look up to the bills and pay them. So reality says I need to be more obedient to what I need to do every day. And here's what I found out in the first 27 days of this year. If I'm more obedient and I stick to the plan instead of working till 6 o'clock at night, I only have to work till 4:30. Now, that's kind of cool because that means that after dinner, I don't have to do anything. It doesn't mean that I don't do anything. I just don't have to do anything. And when we're in that situation where we don't have to do something, it creates freedom upstairs in that brain. You know, there's a lot of trash that runs around in my head 24/7 as part of being in business. And let's not forget, if you're raising a family, if you're a spouse, if you're working in the community, if you're a volunteer, life's a business. We have to show up on time, do our part, just like being in business. You could be an executive or an employee. It's all the same to me. I don't know about you, but to me, it is the same. So for me, being obedient is the word that I picked for 2016. I can tell you, an hour after I made that statement, I was kind of sorry that I did, because I started to think about how big of a challenge that's going to be. But I kept it because, well, I like to think I'm strong-minded. My wife says I'm just stubborn. I'm going to master it. I'm going to make myself better so I can be better for others, for my family, for myself, for my community. So I hope you picked out a word, and whatever that word is, or the challenge that you took on this year, whether you're in a snowstorm or in the sunshine, I hope you will stay committed to it so that you can be better this year in 2016. Okay, so that's my piece for this morning. And I hope that people will, well, just think about what it is in their world that they need to do to put things together to be better. Because, hey, we're all put on this earth to be better and to help share our better with others so that we can help them be better. So I have found that when I do these things, that I'm able to share it with others, be more transparent. And in the year 2016, the word transparent is going to be bigger than you think, because people are getting smarter every day, and they're able to see the fluff before it shows up. So be transparent. Be better. My name is Tony Gambone. I'm here every week from 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Workshop Wednesday is a show that you can find out more about by going to workshop-wednesdays.com. You can register to be a guest. You can go to Tough Talk Radio Network and check out all the shows. I'm on every Thursday morning on Tough Talk Christian Radio as well. It has been my blessing that I'm able to do radio 4 days a week. I learn more from it than anything else I've ever done. And better yet, I get to meet people from all around the world. And mentioning that, I want to talk about my guest today. Okay, L.T. Lewis, Lisa Lewis, is, well, she helps believers to be liberated by kickboxing so they may experience a more joyful, healthy, and abundant, faith-filled life. Now, I know some of you are going to say kickboxing. Don't stray away from this, folks. There's a lot that you're going to learn today that you can do, whether it's martial arts or face-to-face mirror time or meditation or whatever it is that you're struggling with. I guarantee you the interview with Lisa today is going to help you see things differently. Okay, she's an author, and she's, well, I believe she has a ministry. And she uses kickboxing to spread that message. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a very short break. We're going to come back with L.T. Lewis. And while we're doing that, you can check out her website, kickboxingbelievers.com, and start getting a head start on it. So fill up your coffee cup, get a bottle of water, whatever it is that you're drinking this morning, and grab a piece of paper and a pencil. You're going to want to take notes. This is going to be another one of those shows where you're just not going to be able to stop taking notes. So we'll be right back after this here very short break.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
All right, I'm back already. I told you it was going to be quick. Make sure to check out the event happening in Austin the end of April by going to txauthors.com and click on the tab that says COAD, Celebration of Authors Dinner. So it's going to be a great event. If you're in the Texas state of Texas, you're going to want to check it out. You're going to want to learn with Alan Boudreaux is doing for the authors in the state of Texas. If you're not in Texas, well, don't let that limit you from coming. There's going to be 13 presenters. It's going to be a two-day event. It's going to be an opportunity. There's a place on there if you want to fly into Austin and get a hotel room, discounted rooms and everything else. So check it out, txauthors.com. So my first guest, Lisa Lewis, as I mentioned, she helps people experience more joyful, healthy, and abundant, faith-filled life through kickboxing. So, Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Tony. I'm excited to be with you. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Now, I got to tell everyone, we have had our back and forths trying to get you on a show. Most
yes.
of it has been complications from my end of the show. So I made sure to make this show a whole show, not one, not two different guests, but one guest for the whole show, because, well, one, I felt like I owed that to you because of the back and forth of the show interviews. But one of the things is I also, when I read what you're doing, I want people to know more about it. And 20 minutes goes fast. So what I want to do is make sure that we go through what you're doing and how people can plug into it. But first, I want to let people know that you're calling in from Maryland on top of a mountain of snow.
Yes.
Is that where you're from originally?
This is home. So I'm just outside of the nation's capital, maybe a 20-minute drive. Born and raised here. I had a couple of stints in other places in the United States, but for the most part, Maryland is home. And you're right, Tony. We had the biggest blizzard. I think they said the last time we had snow like this was 2010. So we're digging our way out, but it's been beautiful, hazardous, but beautiful.
Well, we both know that it's what you make of it. It could be depressing
yes.
if you want it to be, or it could be joyful to see something a little bit different. And for those of you that have to go out and go to work, time off anyway. So
yes, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned that you help believers to be liberated by kickboxing. And when you say believers, okay, I'm assuming that followers of Christ. Is that correct?
That is correct. Because
okay,
I take it from the perspective of a Christian perspective, since that's my vantage point. So, yes, believers, meaning people who believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Okay, but I just want to make sure to point out, because I know a little bit that the listeners don't know. I know that if you're not a believer, that it doesn't close the door on the opportunity for them
absolutely
to come.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
right.
not.
Yeah.
It
okay.
works for
but
everybody. Yes, definitely. I believe these are just time-tested truths, and regardless of your background, it's just some basic principles that I believe can help anybody and everybody that wants to kick those boxes.
Mm. So, you know, I'm using myself as an example, Lisa. It's been, I guess Easter will be 6 years that I found the Lord. Now, I'll
mm-hmm.
be 60 this year. So
wow.
It took me a long time to find my way. As I mentioned, my wife thinks I'm stubborn. I like to think I'm strong-minded. But The Lord just took me down a path that took me longer to understand the value of following him. So for me, when I see someone like yourself and what you're doing, I get excited because, well, I believe I'm still new at it, okay? And there's days when I also understand that you're never really new at life. And the Lord has been in our lives since the day we were born. We just hadn't looked at on that folder of life that way. You know what I mean? So when people come to you and you know, you're listed as a spiritual mentor. You teach and guide individuals, you know, how to be liberated. And in today's world, that's complicated. Because, you know, they've given Satan a bigger playground called the Internet. So how do you allow all that to help you present that liberation to people?
I think, as you say, we all have a road that we travel to get there. Yours is, you say it's long, but I don't think it's long. I think I'm in 100% agreement with you that he's actually with us the entire time. Just one day we happen to wake up and realize, oh my, I have help. I have a help and a source greater than myself. Let me try this out. I've tried everything else. Let me try this out. I think although this World Wide Web and the Internet can be used for all sorts of purposes, I decided to take the tool and use it for good. It's an opportunity for me to reach more individuals than I could probably reach in a lifetime. Although I love to travel, I can't get to everyone at one time, but the Internet is a great way between Skype and FaceTime and email and so on and so forth. And Adobe Connect, and webinars, there's so many ways and opportunities that I have to connect with individuals and groups that I wouldn't have otherwise. So I think we can take anything that may initially appear to be something negative and use it for a positive. So that's how I choose to look at it. So my website, for example, is a place that individuals can go and get information. Normally I blog regularly. There's been so much good stuff happening in the last few months. I haven't done it recently, but I'm getting back to it. My blog is part of the Bible Gateway Network bloggers grid. And so if there's a lot of good information there. I try to post at least once a week. But I'm excited that starting February the 10th, we're coming into Lent season, and that is when the 40 days, basically, for those practicing Christians, the 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday, where we typically focus in and give up something, you know, chocolate or meats or whatever the case is, or some people give up one meal a day or whatever it may be, those 40 days I'm going to be blogging every day. So it's an opportunity for anyone who's interested. If you go to my website, there is an opportunity to get the blog emailed to you every day. By noon, and it's just a brief scripture and a meditation and something to encourage us during that 40-day period. So I think that's a long way of answering your question, Tony, that I use the Internet in so many different ways in order to reach as many people as I possibly can, to give them some tools to get out of or kick the boxes, as I like. And kickboxing, although it's a martial art term, I'm not talking about physically kicking the boxes, but more spiritually, emotionally, mentally kicking the limiting boxes that may be keeping us from doing what we need to do in order to be better at business and better at life. You mentioned earlier in the call during your monologue that your word for 2016 is obedience. And I love that. Mine is show up. So part of what we have to do on a daily basis is determine what is keeping us from being obedient, what's keeping us from showing up. Identify what that thing is or those things are and eliminate those, eradicate those things. And sometimes it's a daily practice. Research has proven that it takes 21 days for something to become a habit. And to change a habit, to recondition ourselves to do something different. So I work with individuals in helping them identify the boxes, putting in some practices when those negative things come up, those limiting beliefs and attitudes come up to keep us from moving forward, what action steps we need to take in order to eliminate those things so we can move forward and be better. And do better, as you even had mentioned earlier.
So I know you said this a couple of times, so people understand you're not in the gym doing kickboxing.
No, I'm in the gym. I'm in the gym, but I'm not a personal trainer. I'm a spiritual trainer.
Gotcha.
So our work is done in our conversation. Our work is done in our groups and in some rare instances, one-on-one. And that's where our work happens. It's more spiritual, emotional, mental workout, not so much getting into the gym, into the ring with gloves on, physical gloves anyway.
So I want to start back a little bit in
yes.
life and what led you. So I always find that when I interview people who are doing better things for others, who are servants, okay, and, you know,
yes.
I read a couple, maybe it was last week, about the difference between a servant leader and a servant. You know, a lot of times
yes.
we want to be leaders. You know, so we say we're servant leaders. And being a servant and being a servant leader, well, there's two different things there. Jesus was a servant. Okay,
yes.
But most people think he was a servant leader. And so when I run across people like yourself that are servants, that are out helping others, something
yes.
in their life happened that made them think that that was their calling. What was yours?
Well, I found myself in a place when I was younger. I was raised, and I believe like most of us are raised, that there's nothing we can't do, nothing we can't accomplish. If we want to be, I don't know, an Olympic gold medalist, our parents tell us, go, honey, you can do that. And we honestly believe that we can do that. But then we grow up and we go off to college, we get into the workforce, and not everybody is telling us what our parents told us for so many years when we were growing up. And I found myself in a not so happy place. I had a job, I was gainfully employed, but I just wasn't happy. I wasn't joyful. I didn't feel like, you know, this is really what I needed to be doing. You know, I wanted to be doing something else. And I just, when I tell you I felt boxed in, I mean, I felt as though somebody, all they had to do was just hammer that last nail in my coffin, because I just didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. And I was really living the life that I was supposed to be living. I was married, two children. The marriage got a little shaky. I had divorced, and I'm trying to move ahead in my career and make provision for the kids. Just so many different things going on. And at some point, I honestly cried out and said, something's got to give, right? Something has to happen differently, because I'm not liking the path that I'm on. I'm not liking where I am. And so, to be honest with you, through prayer and really, really searching and doing some deep, deep work, soul searching on how did I get here? Where do I want to be? How I got there, and the limiting beliefs, because society wasn't telling me what my parents did. You know, why are you trying to get ahead so quickly? You need to slow down. No, you can't get promoted that fast. You need to take a couple steps back. I mean, just so much negative stuff. So then when I determine the combination of between what I was hearing on the outside and my self-talk had started to take on a different tone as well, that contributed to where I was. And so I started changing. I started talking to myself differently, and I started really reading the Bible and getting an understanding of time-tested truths, what I believe are time-tested truths, and how I was created in creation and how we were created with the ability to do and be and have whatever it is our heart's desire is. Starting to say those things to myself, surrounding myself with more positive people, and anything that was negative that would box me in and keep me from moving forward, eliminating those things. And so for every negative thing I heard, I had to tell myself 5 positive things and believe it. And then I found Tony, and I kid you not, I can send folks my resume so they can see the impacts that it had. At the end of a year of me doing this spiritual kickboxing, I had been promoted, and I didn't even realize it because I was just so focused. I had been promoted 3 times. 3 times in a year. And that's not normal. And I mean, I was a better person, a better mom to my kids. I mean, everything just really took a different turn. And so in my heart, I said to myself, if I can help someone else experience what I'm experiencing, that's what I want to do. And that's how it started. And I've been doing it ever since.
I want to interrupt you a second, Lisa.
Sure.
You know, we have a lot of business owners listening to the show, and I know that you work with all types of people, and there's a lot of business owners that are trying to be better themselves, be better. They read self-help. You know, I read Zig Ziglar and Brian Tracy and all these different
favorite.
Napoleon Hill. And then I start reading the Bible and found out where they got all their information from.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
You know, but there's a lot of people out there who don't witness that. And when they listen to someone say this, okay, they, of course, have not been able to see how strong of a return there is when you have faith, right? Or how, if you serve wholeheartedly, you know, how that turns out sevenfold. But so what I heard you say is that you were writing it down, you were journaling it. And in your program, because a lot of people won't write things down, especially men, you know, we don't have time for that. That's a girl thing. But
right.
When you do your program, do you have people write journal down the stuff so that they can look back on them rainy days and see how they've improved so much that allows that rain to turn into sunshine?
We have to. Otherwise, we don't really know that we've made an improvement. And in working with me, we meet typically once a week, you know, the people that I work with, we meet once a week. And so the next meeting is about, so where were we? What did you write down? And let's be honest, most of us aren't going to remember off the top of our head where we were last week. We're just not, because so many things happen. So writing down and journaling is part of the process. Because also when we see it, it makes a difference as well. Because when we write it down pen to paper and we look back at the words on the paper, they have an effect and an impact when we actually see it. So, for example, I look at it like this, and this has been said often. I mean, you know, we've heard it from Zig Ziglar, from all of the self-help and the business gurus. They say, if you want to make 6 figures this year, write yourself a check, right? We've all heard that. Mm-hmm. Write yourself a check. Fill it out. Put your name on it. Put that dollar amount in the window and sign it and frame it for yourself. And the reason that is the moment that we write that check, one, we don't typically intentionally write bad checks. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that we write that check and we frame it puts us laser focused. Now, what do I have to do in order to make that happen? And our energy automatically goes into what are the next steps? Because I wrote this out, now I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. So it's important. It is definitely a critical step. And tying it back to time-tested truth, in the Bible it talks about writing the vision and making it plain. Because when we write that vision, we have that reminder and we can move forward because we set the intention, we put pen to paper, and now automatically we're going to move forward to do what it takes to make it happen.
You know, it's playing the other side of the coin. This sounds great, okay? But a lot of people go in guns blazing and then turn around the next day and forget like they had amnesia or something. So knowing what you know, what is something that people can do to stay plugged in to their mission? Without getting complicated, I mean, you've explained that it's important to make changes. It's important to write it down. But the hard part is being disciplined or obedient or, you know, continuous. What is a trick or a nugget or a tip that you could tell people that could help them see how to get through that?
Most of us have cell phones, and most of us are very busy people, and we put things in our cell phones. So one method that I found that works for me is because I may not always have a pen and paper handy, depending upon where I am, but we typically have our cell phones. We can set a reminder. We can put a reminder in our phone. And like, for example, any app that you have, but even if you have a Google account, you can put on your calendar even just one thing. Let's say it's to check emails. As business people, you know, checking email is important. Even if it's just to check and respond to emails 1 hour a day, we can put on our Google calendar and set the reminder daily. We can even say what time we want to be reminded, put that time on there and save it. And my phone is linked to, you know, all my email accounts. And so when something comes up on the calendar, it comes straight to my phone. So we can even set it in our phone, plain and simple. So every day at some point we get a little ding and we can look down at it and see, oh, check my email, check and respond to email 1 hour today.
Yeah, I use my Google calendar for everything, and one of the things that I do is every morning I look at what I have going on my calendar, and any calls that I have to make, I set an alarm to it so that I don't get to make the call. So you're basically saying you can take the device that distracts you the most and use it to your advantage to move forward.
Exactly, and that's all I try to do, Tony. Anything that normally is a distraction, I try to do the best that I can to use it as a positive and teaching people to do the same thing because we have them everywhere we go. Now, you know what happens when we get in the car and we're headed down the road and realize we left the cell phone at home, we U-turn. We go back and go get it. So I think it's a great tool for that.
Yeah, it's a shame that that's so true.
I know.
You know, because what happened 20 years ago when you just had to make sure you had a quarter in your pocket to make a phone call?
Exactly. But, and now I don't even know. I can't even recall the last payphone. I don't know when is the last time I saw a payphone. So.
Right. No, it's definitely the truth because some people carry two phones. If they have a business phone, they carry
a
personal phone. And what cracks me up, and I'm guilty of it as well, if I don't mute or turn off my phone when I'm reading in the morning, my quiet time, I get a vibration or a noise that comes out of my phone. Mm-hmm. And really, unless you're a brain surgeon, I don't think it's that important that it can't wait until you either get to a stoplight or get out of your vehicle or get done reading or get done with a meeting.
Right.
But we have trained ourselves to think that we're that important. So to me, that's proof that we can train ourselves to do what you're trying to teach.
Yes.
If we're willing
yes.
to make choices.
Right. Right. And yeah. And it's just a brief, a quick action plan that when we're sitting down to check and respond to emails or returning telephone calls, it takes us maybe, 5 minutes maximum to go onto our calendars, add that reminder in, or put it in our phones, and there we have it. And the only, and then say no end date. And the only way it stops is that we have to manually go in and stop it. So something small, little things that we can trick ourselves to stay on point, to stay on
yeah,
path.
Yeah, and you're right. We do have to trick ourselves until it becomes a habit. And
yes.
you mentioned 30 to 40 days, and things will become a habit.
Yes.
The news alert is bad habits are the same opportunity. So,
yes.
you know, you have to really be specific. I always say if you're asking for something in prayer, tell God exactly what you want so he doesn't misunderstand what you're trying to say. So the same thing happens when you're trying to write a plan for your day, your week,
yes.
your month, your year for your business. Be specific in what it is that you want to accomplish. Know your expectations so that you have a better chance. Because it's like trying to cross a 12-lane highway at rush hour.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's complicated, right? So you got to
yes.
get the timing right. You got to make sure that you're looking both ways. You got to make sure everything lines up. Well, life is the same way.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to make sure that you focus at what it is you're trying to do a little bit. You know, just don't jump out in the middle of traffic and think that everybody's going to stop right on time. So I think that a lot of times people live in an illusion of, you know, what they think is supposed to happen. And sometimes I think they do it for self-sabotage. And that's the next thing I want to talk to you about. Our world... of individuals, and I always use myself because I've been in this position before where I find myself self-sabotaging myself. We're afraid of success. We're okay with failure because it's so normal, okay, and it's so easy way out of trying to finish something. So how do you work with people on self-sabotage?
Self-sabotage, what you said is exactly what it is, Tony. The self-sabotage is usually as a result. The root cause is that we have a fear of failure. And that's the next book I'm working on, actually, to come out later this year, is 5 Keys to Conquer the Fear of Failure. But the self-sabotage is just that. Because we are so stuck that we're going to fail, that it's not going to succeed, we don't even do it at all. And we start telling ourselves, well, you know, if I do this, this is what's going to happen. And then this is what's going to happen. And this is what's going to happen. And you know what? I really don't want to do it anyway. So let me move on to something else. I did that, what, in like 3 seconds? I totally talked myself out of something. Just because I gave myself an illusion that it wasn't going to succeed in the first place, so there was no reason for me to even try. And we have to get, again, out of that habit to say that, you know, we weren't created to fail. If we have an idea or something comes up in our gut, in our heart, in our spirit, in our mind that we want to do, typically it comes up because we are the ones that are equipped to do it and not somebody else. And we can't compare ourselves to anybody else. And if it came to me, it must be my assignment. Like, for example, I don't know. I don't want to be an Olympic gold medalist. That's not in my heart. I don't have a desire for that. So, but somebody who does, they must be gifted for it. And they do what's necessary to get in the position to get to the Olympics and so on and so forth. But starting a business was in my heart. Helping others was in my heart to do. So because it's there, that means I must have what I need in order to get it done. So we can't let the negative thoughts and the self-sabotage come up. Because I've got it, it came to me, I must be able to do it. And I'll succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It always comes down to a choice. And I have found that when I pray and ask God to show me what it is he wants me to do, well, sometimes I'm sorry I asked. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't my plan. That's not what I planned on
doing.
Exactly. And you mentioned that, you know, growing up, we want to do all different types of things in life because of what our parents showed us or talked to us about. And then we hit reality, and then we have to change, and we have to readjust, make 100 mistakes, and then try to figure it out and hope that we get there. But the fact that you are with, you know, kickboxingbelievers.com, people can go find out all about you, but just because that's where you are right here today, you are knowledgeable that this might not be where God is taking you tomorrow.
Correct.
So, I mean, now, to some people, that's like, well, I don't want to do it. This is what my passion is. Mm-hmm. And I find that God has gifted us with different things in life.
Different, I agree.
Special, unique gifts. And the reason why this is passionate to you right now is because this is one of the gifts that God's given you. But there's no guarantee of the path that it's taken and how long the path's going to be and what comes up next.
Correct.
So when it comes down to it again, what happens is everything depends on your faith and where you're supposed to be heading. How do you convince people to believe? Like I say to people all the time, you know, do you go to church? Yes. Do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe in what you're doing? Yes. Then why aren't you doing it? Because, well, where's the faith that that's what you're supposed to be doing? So how do you get people to lock in on faith?
I get people, how I work with individuals to lock in on faith is that I explain and demonstrate that we're living by faith all day, every day, whether we realize it or not. Case in point, you and I right now, you're in Houston, I'm in Maryland. We're having a conversation over the telephone line. So both of us are doing this in faith that the telephone lines will work, that they'll be operable and we can continue our conversation. Every day that we get up and we get in our cars to go to a meeting, to go to the supermarket, to take the kids to their soccer game, we jump in the car without giving it a second thought that when we put the key in the ignition, the car is going to start and we're going to get to our destination. When we go to the supermarket and we load stuff up in our cart and we get in line, we have no doubt that when we get to the register, whatever the bill will come up to, we have the resources to pay for those groceries. All of those are acts of faith. Acts of faith. No big deal. Yeah. We don't even think twice about it.
Yeah,
so,
a great way to explain that, because we do take things for granted. We just, you know, and so that's a way of looking at it. We take it for granted, or we just have faith that that's the way it is.
Yes, we have faith that that's how it is.
I like that.
And
very
so,
good.
Right. And so as soon as I have that conversation with people, it's like, oh, so in the morning when we wake up, and, you know, as for you and me, when we have our prayer time and our focus time with the Lord and about our day and what we're supposed to accomplish, then we move forward because faith is our foundation and we're powered by that. So even though things come up, because in life things happen, I mean, things happen. Everything doesn't go according to plan. But our faith kicks in because we know some kind of way we're going to get through this, we're going to get around this, we'll get over it, whatever it takes, we're going to be able to go the next step. So getting in the car to take the kids to the soccer game, if the car doesn't start, immediately we go into, hey, can somebody help me? Do I need to call, you know, the roadside service? Is there a neighbor that can help me? We automatically go the next step because we have faith we're getting the kids to the soccer game. Even if it requires that we call another one of the parents in the neighborhood to come swing by and pick us up so we can get to the game. That's life. That's how we operate in business, is that, okay, we weren't able to close that deal. Maybe that deal wasn't supposed to happen. We're going a different direction. Or we show up for the meeting, that person's not interested, but then they say to us, although, you know, I'm not in a position to do business with you right now, I know someone who is. And we wouldn't have even gotten the connection to that next person had we not shown up and had the faith to show up for this person. So when we look at it in that way and realize, wow, every day I'm actually already doing it. I'm already living by faith. I'm already moving by faith. So now because I recognize it, I can be more intentional with it.
That's a great analogy. I will be stealing that information off of you. That's the perfect way you explained it, because we do it without even thinking about it. It's not even a plan. It's just expect it.
Yes.
So, you know, when you can do things like that and allow it to be expected, it's just automatic. So that's a great way of placing that opportunity to understand that. So knowing what you know, okay, about being liberated, experiencing more joy, being healthier and more abundant, what is something that you would tell people in 2016 that they need to look at before taking another step in any direction? They can see how they can benefit from sort of creating an out-of-the-box life.
Let's see. The one thing that I would say for 2016 that would be key in us creating an out-of-the-box life is honesty. Is honesty. We have to be honest with ourselves and with others. So creating the out-of-the-box life and honesty come together, because if I'm afraid, I have to be honest and say I'm afraid. When I need help, not if, because we all need help, when I need help, I have to be honest and ask for the help. Say I need help and get the help that I need. We all need mentors, we all need coaches, we all need encouragement, we all need help along the way. So being honest with where we are, where we'd like to be, and the help that we need to get there is critical.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. That's good advice. You know, I tell people they need to read every day. They need to read, and, you know, people say, I don't like to read. Well, it's on your phone. It's on your tablet.
Oh, yes.
One of the books that I just finished up was Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. And another one that I'm reading is a book by Wayne Cordero, is The Divine Mentor. We all look for mentors, physical beings, when the Bible has a list of mentors, people that already made the same mistakes that are taking place again today.
Definitely.
2,000 years ago. So there's a lot of ways to get better, as long as you're willing to make that choice Lisa, I just can't thank you enough for sharing what you're doing and for doing what you're doing. It's just awesome. I know that you have on your website, Believers, if they go to the toolbox, and I post this all over social media and in a giant email that I send out to all the people who have ever been on the show. Your latest book, The Fearless Living Experience, is there.
Yes.
But there's other ebooks as well. And there is that Bible Gateway Blogger Grid member.
Yes.
That's something to check out. But one of the things I'm looking at is Rev Gal Blog House. And
yes,
you have another one, Faithful Blogger. So you do a lot of blogging.
I do.
And have you thought about taking those blogs and making them a book?
I will. I'm doing that this year as well. At the end of the 40 days kicks off on February the 10th, Ash Wednesday, at the end of the 40 days, I'm taking that and putting that in a book. So it'll be 40 days of meditation and action steps that can be used at any point in time. And I'm using the premise, again, that it takes 21 days to make anything a habit. So at the end of 40 days, we really should be having a life-changing experience. So that's the goal. But yes, Tony, I'm all over it. So there will be a couple of books coming out this year, one based on the blog and the other one having to do with conquering the fear of failure.
Awesome. And one other thing, I'm going to reach out to you and communicate some more with you, because I see that you have a podcast app. And you're not doing anything with it. I want to make sure that I can have a conversation with you about sharing your stuff daily on it. I have found, you know, that over 50 million people listen to internet radio per month.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Not counting iTunes or Spreaker or, you know, all the other sites that are out there. So
yeah,
one of the things that I found out that and I never thought, you know, I'll be 60, so I never thought I'd be doing an internet radio show, trust me. It's gone on 7 years now, and I'm able to share the message of what God's doing with people, even if they don't realize it's God doing
wow.
it with people around the world. So I'm going to reach out to you, and we're going to set up a time to talk and see how I can help you more market what you're doing.
Oh, that's exciting. So you see, Tony, I set a page for it. I see, that's an act of faith. I put a page there.
There you go.
I'm excited.
Right.
Yes.
That's very good. So tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Please feel free to email me at ltlewis@kickboxingbelievers.com. Go to my website. There's a way to reach me there. And if you'd like to take that 40-day journey with me, as soon as you go to my website, there'll be an opt-in pop-up for the 40 days of Lent for the soul. You can sign up there, and the daily emails will come directly to you, and we can take this journey together. So feel free, visit my website and reach out to me. I believe my telephone number is there as well, email address. Facebook is another option, Kickboxing Believers. So don't hesitate to reach out to me. I look forward to hearing from you and working with you if I possibly can. So I'm excited.
All right. Well, I know that you're doing some great things, and I'm looking forward to having you back on the show to explain to others what you're doing. But I just want to say really seriously, thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking time out, being patient with me to get on the show, and spending the time with us today.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you real soon about the podcast. I'm excited. Yes.
Okay, very good. We're going to take a commercial break, and Lisa, we just wish you a great 2016. And I know
thank
you don't need my wishes. You're already there, so thank you very much.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, folks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location. Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.
Okay, folks, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays. Awesome interview with L.T. Lewis. She's out of the Maryland area, right outside the nation's capital. Anyway, what I want to talk about here is I want to make sure of a couple of things. I mentioned the word obedience. That's what I'm working off of. And Lisa Lewis talked about faith, okay, and being able to kick the boxes and being able to get on board to leading yourself in a better direction, joining her challenge for by going to her website, kickboxingbelievers.com. A couple things I recommend is to go in the toolbox. And, you know, I always say that if you can learn more about someone, you can have a better reason to get connected. There's a book you can buy, The Fearless Living Experience, to read a chapter out of a book that was, compiled by Cheryl Woods, who is a very well-known author, an expert in her field as well. There's some free, there's a free book that you can download as well to learn about Lisa Lewis as well. But check out the website, kickboxingbelievers.com. And see if you can connect with Lisa to see how she may be able to help you. Sign up to get her blogs. I have done that already. And so I'm looking forward to having her back on the show with an update after the challenge that she's doing during Lent and see what the results bring. Because we always know that if we do something new and we map it out, it's always going to show up as something to teach or something to learn from as well. So stay tuned to us every week, Wednesdays, 10:30, 11:30 Central Standard Time on Workshop Wednesdays. You can become a guest on the show by going to workshop-wednesdays.com. Hit us up on social media. We're on Twitter under TTR Network. I'm on Twitter under Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Radio Network on Facebook or Tony Gambone on Facebook. If you type in either one in the Google search bar, you'll find a way to connect with us. I look forward to having everyone tune in next week. I hope everyone has a blessed week. And once again, big thank you to L.T. Lewis, the lady who's out there helping believers to become liberated by kicking boxes so that they may experience more joyful, helpful, and abundant faith-filled lives. That's my show for this week. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.